Podcasting 2.0 for December 30th, 2022, episode 115. We're boosting in the new year. Hello, once again, time for the very last board meeting of the year, 2022. Everything happening at podcastindex.org. Of course, the latest on all things podcasting 2.0 and whatever else is going on and being invented in the mad laboratories at podcastindex.social. I'm Adam Curry here in the heart of the Texas Hill Country and in Alabama celebrating 12 years with me, and we never had a fight. Say hello to my friend on the other end, ladies and gentlemen, Mr. Dave Jones.
I got off early today, a little bit early from work.
You did?
So I'm enjoying an adult beverage right now.
Oh, you know what? It's interesting you say that. I am also enjoying an adult beverage.
What adult beverage are you imbibing?
I am imbibing an argile.
Argile. I don't know what that is.
Well, it's a fancy pronunciation for a $10 wine called Argyle, but I like to call it Argile. Makes me feel better.
That's like Target.
It's Target. Yes, exactly. That's the general idea. No, I did a podcast earlier with Mo, so you know I'm all warmed up and like, hey, the sun is over the yard arm. It's 10 after 5. We are lit. Thank you, everybody, for pre-boosting us, and we might as well say right off the bat, we have an esteemed board member with us today. Ladies and gentlemen, please say hello to the Honorable James Cridland.
Thank you very much. It's great to be here.
Yes, good to have you, James.
It's very, very exciting. I have an adult drink of a coffee in front of me because it's 9 in the morning here.
Oh man.
That's a West week.
Really? You're blowing the whole Australian shrimp on the Barbie mate thing.
Or Irish. You know, Irish. If you can Irish that thing up with a little bit of a single malt scotch.
This is a knife. Here you go. That's
What was that?
Oh, of course, Crocodile Dundee, what every idiot American thinks is Australia.
Right.
He said, okay. That's not a knife, mate. This is a knife. Yeah, there you go.
No, I'm having a eggnog, leftover eggnog from the holidays with a shot of Kraken Dark Rum. And it's quite good.
Kraken Dark Rum. Very nice. Uh-huh.
Actually, in the appropriate moose head glass as well.
ready for your rush boost.
Yeah. And I've got some cucumber flavored Pringles potato chips.
Oh, goodness. That sounds vile. What are you doing?
Terrible.
Oh, that's chemicals.
No, see, we do this every year. For my kids, we have this tradition, a Christmas tradition of we go to the Asian market and fill up our kids' stockings with it. We buy things that we can't, they don't have any English on them, so we don't know what they taste like or anything. So it's always like, you put it in your mouth and you're like, oh my God, what is this?
These
are cucumber flavored.
When you say Asian market, is that a generalization or is it Japanese, Chinese, Vietnamese, Thai?
No, it's literally called the Asian market.
It's an Alabama thing. Yeah.
No. I mean, there's some form of nationality that, but there's never the same. I mean, it's an Asian market connected to a Chinese restaurant, but the guys that cook the food, they're all
Mexican.
Hispanic, so
yeah,
I don't know what's going on there. I mean, it's just like it's potpourri.
I will start right off the bat with Boobery had a request since we're all imbibing in beverages. He said, Adam, please, can you rip the bong for me before the show starts? I got to set the mood right.
Okay. Yeah, the chat room's drinking. I think I cracked it open on this one.
All right, so everybody.
I will have
happy.
A syllabub after the show. Do you know syllabub?
No.
Syllabub is some kind of French. It's like a French whipped cream thing dessert with this. It's got.
You're just making this up now, aren't
it's
you?
It's got Cointreau.
Oh, Cointreau.
Yeah,
Cointreau. Yes, which I drink at my Citroën. Very nice.
I just want to sound sophisticated for once. Okay.
Okay. Well, you're in the right crowd because we got the pommy.
Yeah.
James, I think it was actually exact. Was it not exactly a year ago that you were here at the board meeting?
It was exactly a year ago. Yes, it's almost becoming a tradition.
I like it. It was. I remember very stressful last year because we went long, and
our dog was new and had not been to the three-week boot camp, and then everything was freaking out, and one of her friends came by, and she was just going nuts, Tina was just, and I made her keep the lights off because I had a buzz in my mic. It was like, it was divorce worthy, I'll tell you. It was a close call, that one. It was a close call.
Yes, I remember that. I remember there was a big 5 minutes of silence in the middle of that show.
Oh, that's right.
All of course edited out. But
right. It's like, I'll be right back. You guys finish up. No, I'm well prepared. Well prepared now this time. Well prepared. So I guess we'll just go through a couple of things that are in the news right now. Actually, James, for people who have not, who I can't imagine, but it turns out, according to the OP3 stats, we have 8,600 unique listeners. So maybe you should just let everybody know who you are and what you do.
Wow. Yes, I am the editor of Pod News, which is a daily newsletter all about podcasting and on demand. And I present, that's a very English word, isn't it? And I host the Pod News Daily, which is a daily podcast, which is essentially that in audio form, and a weekly podcast with my friend Sam Sethi called the Podcast Weekly Review.
Yes, I think we both were, at one point, were considered presenters. Presenters.
It's a very, here in Australia, you're called an announcer, which is
really
even more confusing. And in India, you're called an RJ.
An RJ?
A radio jockey, an RJ. Huh.
Yeah. You know, when I was at MTV, and this was back in the day when they were still kind of like, oh, well, everyone gets business cards. I'm like, okay, cool. What do you want on your business card? Just Adam Curry. No, it has to have a title. Can I just have nothing? No, I have to have a title. We suggest VJ. I'm like, why don't you put fucking leper on there instead? I said, no, how about air personality and producer? I got it. Wow. The air personality and producer.
Air personality. Yeah. I was ABB. Able, when I worked at the BBC for a couple of years, and I was able to, there was just something on the internet where you could just fill in and order your business cards. And I was there thinking, do I just write managing director on there? Would anybody know if I just wrote head of gravity? There's a job that you can't mess up.
Hey man, were you there with the Dutch guy, Eric?
Eric Huggers.
Yeah,
yes, he joined at the same time as I did.
Yeah.
Yes, he had lots of entertaining stories about. Yes,
yeah, I know him quite
about
well.
Being
actually.
In Holland,
I know him quite well. He's one of those guys. He's a great guy. Can't do anything, but gets great jobs. You know what I mean?
He did a ton of things while he was there. He launched the iPlayer.
Oh, I know. That was his main thing.
He actually managed to get that out and get that done. So he was nominally my boss. But because it was the BBC, I had another boss who was my day-to-day boss. And my day-to-day boss didn't agree with anything that Eric was doing. It was 2 years of my life that I will never get back.
He's just one of those guys that just pops up and like then he's running, like Blockbuster, he's like taking that digital and like, how do you get these jobs?
Yeah.
Man?
And then Intel, I think he was in
charge of the special processing units or something. Yeah. He's got a good rap.
Yeah.
And he's a hot Brazilian wife. I think something like that. He's got some good stuff going. So I was looking at my fountain stats today. Turns out that I've been boosting you as one of the most of all the shows I listen to.
Thank you. That's very kind of you.
Isn't that interesting, though? It's like 473,387 sats.
Well, there's a lot to bitch about. So
that is the weekly review. You're right. That's where I bitch.
But and that's one of the brilliant things about a Boostergram is that the more angry Adam gets, the more
I send. I know.
The higher the amount.
I'm more pissed off. Yeah. 50,000 because I know it's like I'm going to get your attention. And then you're going to say, oh man, sorry. My node wasn't connected. Didn't see it in time for the show.
Mm-hmm. Being fair.
I'm just messing with you, man.
Talking radio though, for a second, the 100% retro work was nice and it was fun. And there seems to be a lot of, you've been talking a lot about radio lately, James. And I'm just wondering, I mean, how does this, to me, the way I see this, and this is my naivete, I'm sure, as not being
good word. Nice French word. Nice.
I'm about to have syllabub, so I'm in that mode. So my naivete is not as of a non-radio, you know, history here, is that you have this, you have millions of what Adam calls radio receivers, these podcast apps ready to go. And like, doesn't that just seem like a fertile field for live streaming? Everybody's used to audio in a podcast app, just not a whole lot of tweaking, very, very little tweaking could turn those all into live radio tuners in a heartbeat. Doesn't that make sense that would be something that they would do?
I mean, back in my long-term history, I actually launched the first streaming radio app for a radio station. I was working for a station called Virgin Radio. And in March 2005, we launched the first streaming app in the world, which was very strange and got me into an awful lot of trouble. I think one of the real benefits of radio, of proper radio, is that it's live, is that you feel as if you're part of a community. You feel as if there are other people consuming the same stuff as you do. That's what Lit does in the podcast field as well. You know, you feel and you can hear while you're recording this particular show, you can hear that there are other people who are boosting right now, and that's a great thing. So the benefits of radio are actually a bit different to the benefits of podcasting. Podcasting is very much more around you're in control, you're listening to it on a device that you're holding on to normally, or it's certainly within arm's reach, and so therefore you can fast forward through the boring bits, you can do all kinds of stuff like that. You can choose different things to go and have a listen to. So they are quite different. But I do think that there's something there in the middle of radio merging with the podcast world and the live experience of radio merging with the on-demand experience of a podcast. There's something there in the middle that I think you're right. I don't think has been fully looked at by the radio industry. All that they care about is keeping their AM and FM, you know, sticks running. That's all that they really care about.
I have 12 years of experience with this, and it was kind of standard, nothing special. And when I say 12 years of experience, over 12 years, No Agenda Show has been streaming while we record. And that's been mainly because I record direct to tape. There's, you know, never any editing except for, you know, putting something in the front as a little opening thing, or if there's a technical error. And it's, we've had a stream for maybe 13 years. We've had a chat room equally as long, but it wasn't really until, I would say it's more this show in the past 2 years that got me much more interested in interacting with the chat room. And you're right, James. The thing that's really unique, and I would say most radio, so much has changed since I was doing radio, and people, you know, the way to feedback to the show is people in the car, maybe on their cell phone, or sometimes at the office or at home, turn your radio down, dear. But the boostagram element, and I've witnessed it now from both sides, from things coming in, people commenting in real time. And I finally, for the first time, it happened, was it Wednesday, I think, I got a ping that a new media show was going live. I've been waiting for this for 2 months for this to work. So bing, that goes. Yes. I'm like, right away, boom, 50,000 sat. Although I thought Todd was a little demure. He could have been a little happier about my 50,000 sat boostagram.
But you kind of played it down a little bit, didn't you?
Yeah. Oh, there's Adam with 50,000. Okay.
Getyourown.com.
That's right, Todd. That's the payoff, by the way. That's better than the getyourown.com. It was a really, really good experience. And it's definitely, you know, so what we have right now is we have a lot of people doing video, YouTube live video, you know, I put a lot of work into that. And they are, in fact, doing the same thing. They're streaming. That's where the super chat comes from. They're all, you know, they're very invested in the video aspect. But this, it's a new beast. I think Lit is, in a way, a category of its own. It's something different. And I like treating it's like a studio audience. You know, I like seeing that we have people in the chat room. It could be 50, 60, 5,000, doesn't matter. In fact, you know, 1,000 is probably more than enough. You know, just people yapping away and feeding stuff back. And you know, you read stuff. You don't always have to mention it. But it's a category. There's a radio guy where I'm used to running the board. I'm used to seeing having multiple things going on while I'm having a conversation. And then I can see over here, oh, people are chatting. And Dave, you've gotten pretty good at it too. You're also, you're starting to develop that, oh, something here in the chat room while I'm talking.
Yeah, it's different. I mean, it's different, and I think that could be. Yeah, you said, you know, I'm starting to get the feel for it, and I think also listeners, it may be a listener teaching thing. Like one thing I noticed from looking at John Spurlock's Top Secret, chart
that everyone got an email for. Yeah, thanks.
Yeah, right.
Hi, first name here.
Here's your top secret. Don't go talking about it yet.
Yeah. Hi, podcaster in brackets. The thing that I learned from that is that, especially with our show, but also for No Agenda as well, there's been a lot of movement. I mean, if you look at things like No Agenda, the one that stood out to me was Podverse. Podverse is up to like 5%.
Yeah, it's because I keep promoting it as lit.
That's what I'm saying. You can move the needle as a host. You can move the needle on your listener behavior. And so the same thing, like I think you can teach the listener to also enjoy the live experience. It's not going to be for everybody. Not everybody's going to love it. But I think Tom from Buzzsprout texted me a couple of weeks ago and was like, he saw the Podping to go live. And he just popped it and listened to it in Podverse. And he was like, hey, this is really cool.
I mean, this is also the element that I think what people got so excited about Clubhouse was a kind of the same idea where you have an alert mechanism. It's like something's going live. Oh, my God. I don't want to be left out. Something's happening. You can click right in there. You hear people talking. Mm. You have an opportunity to participate. In limited manner, but you look, some of these guys like Booberry and all, they're fucking crazy. They got, if you send, you know, 6,000 sats, you get a different jingle that fires. I mean, there's all kinds of ways you can enhance this. And James, that is really, to me, when interactive radio, and we all heard it. We probably even both had gigs that someone paid us to do something we knew was stupid, but there would be interactive radio. This is really it. It really is a new category. And there's enough people who are doing live video that they should surely be able to, and I think probably more profitably, be able to do just live audio.
Yeah. Yeah. I completely agree. And I think also if you look at it from the podcast hosting company's point of view, the biggest risk to their business, the biggest risk to somebody like Todd or, you know, the Libsyn crowd or, you know, Podbean or whoever.
Come on, say Buzzsprout. Biggest, come on, you got to, yeah, add your sponsor.
Oh, yeah, add your sponsor. Or Buzzsprout. the excellent folk at Buzzsprout, still haven't re-signed for next year.
Okay.
the biggest risk to them is that people get bored of podcasting because they don't get any feedback. And so they stop producing a podcast. So anything that helps them retain that customer is an investment into, it's really expensive to get a customer. All of that marketing, all of that excellent sponsorship of the Pod News Weekly Review,
helps, all
of that stuff is really expensive. But once they are in, don't lose them when they start losing interest. And so, you know, things like comments, things like live comments, is really, really important, I think. And I'm really surprised at how few podcast hosting companies have really grasped this yet, that actually, you know, the thing for them is to keep their current customers really fired up about what they're doing. And there are podcast companies that do all of these things, you know, sending you emails, you know, well done, you've got 10,000 downloads now, and well done, you've got 100,000 downloads now. And those are really good examples of that. Yep. But actually much better is, here's what your audience is saying. And that's why people get so excited about Apple Podcasts ratings and reviews, you know.
Yeah, it's a very inferior feedback mechanism, whereas what I've always said about value for value is, you get one buddy to fire up, one of the 2.0 apps, and listen to your show, and you can see it with Todd. Oh my God, there's another one sat, because Albie does every transaction. So he's like, bloom, bloom, there's another minute from somebody. But I have the same. I sometimes will just sit at home and I'll fire up, Zap. I'll fire up the Zap wallet and go look at the podcasting 2.0 node, and it does transactions in real time. And it's all one sat, but it's, you'll see like 20, 25 a minute. And I'm just, and I'm not looking at Satoshis. I'm like, there's 25 different people using apps right now that are listening to podcasts. It's just, I can't, it's so cool. And when it happens to my own podcast, when you see stuff, it's not about the money. It's about exactly what you said. Oh my God, there's someone on the other end somewhere. And they're signaling to me that they're listening. I mean, as a radio guy, you couldn't get that. You couldn't get you got the ratings, which you feared, of course.
So, I mean, I did the evening show on one of the radio stations that I worked for. And I did the evening show for about 2.5 years. And the first year, I did a big thing of, it's my birthday soon. Don't forget, March the 18th. It's my birthday. Here's the address for the radio station. Send in all of your presents. I'm really looking forward to them. And made this whole thing about the fact that it was my birthday and everything else. And the last year that I was doing it, I didn't mention my birthday at all, because I'd given my notice in. I was stopping doing the show. I didn't even know if I'd be on my birthday, because they typically take you off a little bit early.
So yeah, once the notice is in, you're good to go.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, then that's basically it. And so I didn't mention it at all. I get to the, and this was in the early 1990s, where, you know, there were no such things as electronic diaries or email or anything else, you know, for most people. So so I get into the radio station on my birthday. I have a look in my physical inbox where they used to put the post, and there were six birthday cards.
For me.
Six birthday cards where people had written my name and the address down 12 months previously. Oh, it's this guy's birthday. And so they sent me another birthday card the following year. Isn't that cool?
No, that told you. Exactly.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, only six, but you know.
But I remember. But there we go. Yeah. I was going to say.
That's six more than zero.
At MTV, I've been in this game so early. We had MTV is just send me a postcard, send me a letter. I had at any given moment 8 to 10 full mailbags. It was impossible to get through. So, but I would have them in the bathroom. And so if either me or the sound guy or my friend were taking a dump, it's like, you know, you can take a dump, but just read a couple letters and see if there's anything in there for me. Mm. Kind of like a tax, poop tax.
There was a guy called Noel Edmonds, who used to do the Radio 1 breakfast show in the UK. Sure. And then went on to do TV and stuff. And he was telling a story about the fact that he used to get mailbags of post and things, and, you know, postcards and all this kind of stuff. And then he was away from radio for about 20 years, came back to radio and did a couple of weeks on an afternoon show. And of course, the way that we send feedback had completely changed, and you didn't get postcards anymore.
Right. He had
instead,
not gotten the memo.
You got text messages. text messages, which, right in front of your face,
which
as
people
you
paid
were doing
for.
A show.
Didn't they have to pay for it?
Which people paid for. You could reverse charge, and it would cost you 25 pence or 50 pence or whatever. So anyway, he does his first, presenter break or show link. You know, he talks for the first time,
show link.
closes his microphone, and thinks, right, that's my first talkie bit over. Looks up at the screen, which is right in front of his face, and I'm going to swear now, and the first text that he sees said, "Who let that bearded untalented twat back on the air?" Yeah. First thing that he sees.
Not considered a swear word in America, James. Your twat is okay.
Yeah, so it's, you know, so things have really changed, but actually the need for direct feedback is a really important thing. And whether that's direct feedback in terms of chat rooms or whether that's direct feedback in terms of comments and cross-app comments, you know, hugely important, I think.
Well, you nailed it. It's about community. And by the way, Dave Jones, do you see what you open? See, when you uncork two radio dudes, we're going to go talking for 20 minutes about radio.
Yeah, sorry.
So no, I only have three questions on my entire piece of paper here because I know that each one of them is good for 45 minutes. I'm great.
So that's one. I just want to thank Mitch. He stomped on all the Podverse bugs with the value for value issues I was having on Graphene OS. Granted, I'm out there. I'm not your traditional guy because I use a different operating system. Works beautifully. I'm super happy now that Albi stays connected and everything, and the boost buttons come up. It's really a nice app. I mean, it's really
God,
slick.
God bless Mitch for making the non-Googled Android phones first-class citizens. I mean, that's not easy stuff to do. And well, he goes the extra mile to make sure that stuff works.
Breeze does that as well. I'll give my props to Breeze. And by the way, I stomped on a Breeze bug. Hello? I feel
pretty. You did. You found it.
I feel pretty powerful about that. I didn't get no bounty or anything. The hell? This was. I'm looking at Get Albi stats. No, the Saturn stats. And it has, oh no, I'm sorry, maybe it was Conchax? Well, anyway, it was one of the two stats packages for Get Albi. And I'm seeing all these weird boostergrams, like every single time a Breeze boostergram came in, it started a whole new episode as in the stats. I'm like, what is going on here? So, and this coincided with an RSS feed bug, which I thought was a bug, but I messed it up and you were helping me stomp on that. So I'm like, is this something that is related to the RSS feed? You know, always DNS first. No, it's not DNS. It was the RSS feed. No, it wasn't that. And then I think, well, and then I go looking in the GitHub and it was Oscar who had proposed to send along the episode, the podcast index episode ID with each boostergram, which is the standard, which is what they're doing as well. And I note that was about 2 weeks ago. That's when my app updated. And, you know, it's like, okay, this is no coincidence. So I say, hey, are you sending the right ID over? And Roy goes in and says, yeah, man, that looks good. What are you talking about there, Hollywood boy?
Hollywood boy,
step back, Hollywood. Hollywood, you know what you're talking about. Let the programmers
do their work here.
I looked at the code, man. This is good. And luckily, he asks someone with actual knowledge to take a look. And comes back. Oh, we were sending our internal episode ID or supply ID or something that changed regularly. So we fixed it. It hasn't been updated yet, but we fixed it.
Just pour yourself a drink, Roy. That's fine.
I felt really good about it.
No, that was great because I was thinking that it was some like... I forgot. I was thinking there was some sort of like a issue with the title of the episode or something like that. No, you went all the way.
Yeah.
You nailed it. So there's been a lot of discussion about cross app comments and like where things are, where it's going. I mean, we knew from the beginning that this was clearly going to be the hardest one of all. And I mean, for various reasons, most of which are actually not technical.
Correct.
There are technical reasons. I mean, you know, ActivityPub is not a simple protocol. It's not super easy like some others are. So there's a little bit of complexity to it, but then you add on the complexity of moderation and the political side of things. And I mean, it's just not an easy thing to do and trying to get adoption. Like, I think one, you know, Alex texted me last week after the show and he made a point. He said, you know, he said, what y'all miss the fact that this is a whole new class of user, a whole new class of podcast listener that we're talking about here. And so, I think, and I agree with him. I agree with what he said. I think what he's saying here is that where we may not be talking about, when I think podcast listener, I think of myself. You know, that's just the selfishness of human nature. I think of, you know, it's the only thing I know. I'm a podcast listener. So I envision myself multiplied millions of times, and that's what podcast listeners are. But but that's blind. That's being blind, because it's probably, you know, there's all various kinds of podcast listeners. I hear some shows and somebody talks about how they listen to podcasts, and I'm like, oh, well, that's odd. That's not anything like I do it. And so I wonder, you know, I think the point Alex was trying to make was that there's a different class of listener out there. We know that this class of listener or viewer or whatever you want to call it exists, because they are there on YouTube, Twitch, other services, because as you made the point, James, in your GitHub post, you can just look at our YouTube live stream and there's tons of comments. And I'm not talking about the live chat, the super chat. There's comments.
Yeah.
So the chat exists, and then there's also lots and lots of comments. So whoever that person is, that class of person that likes to leave comments on the videos, or you know, that's the person that can grow podcasting by us bringing them into, we can get that person over into podcasting 2.0 as, you know, with those features, because there's something, they're clearly addicted to something about commenting. And the funny thing is, you know, I don't know how much moderation plays a role in this, but
like
a lot of times, you know, you see a comment, you go to a YouTube video, and the top comments, they're pretty funny. I mean, like, you know, you scroll through the first two or three, they're pretty good. And I'm sure there's a lot of moderation that's happening there. But I don't know. I think that's just a good point to think of, is that maybe we're not talking about taking existing podcast listeners and turning them into commenters, but bringing in a new class of user.
Well, so I agree. It's a couple things. One, that's called a cheaptogram. Yeah, just because you don't want to pay for a boost, Alex, doesn't mean that, you know. So it's back channeling you just out of cheapness. There's another thing to consider. App developers have their own view of this. This is my app, and I have comments on my app. And how they're not necessarily, I'm not accusing, it's not an accusation, in fact. It's very understandable. And unfortunately, the guy who was the greatest example of that isn't really with us anymore. He's not dead. But Martin from PodFriend, he was very clear, like, no, I don't, if I'm going to have comments in my app, I want comments everywhere on every single podcast. And he saw it from that vantage point, which I also understand. To me personally, and I want to make sure we didn't lose anything in the translation, James. I didn't say I'm giving up on cross app comments. I said, I'm tired of asking for it. I don't see the momentum. And as we say in the business, you can't beat a number one hit out of wax. You know, if something doesn't catch, I'm trained to pull back and move on to something else. And if you see something that catches, then I'm always interested in. Now, that doesn't mean that lightning comments are cross-app comments. I'm just saying, here's what I'm seeing that's working. Here's what's enjoyable to me. And the third thing I'll say, and I'll shut up, is that my listeners, the No Agenda listeners, already are in a Mastodon community. We have limited the Mastodon to 10,000 users. But of course, there's thousands more who follow and interact with us across the Fediverse. I set up the comments thread. People use it. You go to an app that shows it, like Podverse, and you can see it. The complaints there are, it's not underneath the episode the way they are on a YouTube video. They're three swipes to the left in, and you can't interact immediately. Because I think I have part of that new listener. So my frustration is I can't get the last two. I've got the threads. I've got people interacting. I've got everybody ready. I've got people using the app to listen to Lit. Give me that last bit. You know, it's like, just like the Boostagram. And that comes back to your YouTube comment, or Alex's YouTube comment. I got to be looking at something. Maybe I'm looking at the interface. I'm looking at the album art. I'm looking at the play button. I'm looking at the slider. And that's where I got to do my comments. Not three, four swipes left or right. It's all about UX in my mind.
No.
Developer response.
I'm processing because you're what you're it's interesting because I didn't realize that it sounds like what you're saying is that your frustration comes from the fact that you're almost there, but yes. You can't get over the last 2%.
Yes, yes, yes. Thank you. Yes, exactly. It's there.
Well, see, this goes back to our discussion before about, I think every time we discuss this,
we get better. We get better.
Mm-hmm. Right. But, you know, and I know, and so, because it goes back to our discussion from a few weeks ago where we were talking about visibility. And the problem is that let's just take ActivityPub for a second. ActivityPub, most people's interaction with ActivityPub is going to happen in a Mastodon client. We've just got to be honest about that. That's what's going to happen. It's Mastodon.
It's there. It's happening.
It is happening. It's done. So that's where they're commenting at. That's very disconnected from the podcast app. So it seems like what we need to bridge that together so that the reality of the situation is that if I comment in Mastodon, it will show up in Podverse. And if Podverse supported, you know, posting comments back, it would show up in Mastodon. But people don't know that.
Well,
there's no sense of continuity there, I think.
Yeah, but also, thank you for starting it off by looking at the stats. I hadn't even realized it. No one knew about Podverse Lit until I told them. And I told them, and I kept telling them, and kept telling them. I think if... And this is a general, and James, if he's still awake, the general idea that all of these things should show up in the same place. So I feel it's just as valid to have Boostagram show up. Maybe it shows up as a boost bot or whatever in the ActivityPub thread. That's like the chat room that, you know, and I didn't hook all this up. I don't know why it works. And magically this shit works. I got boost bots, all kinds of stuff happening. So have that incorporated, and maybe even, and this I think is something Alex has been championing for, separate the payment from the message if appropriate, where you may be doing an ActivityPub comment. Maybe you want to add a boost to that.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. We talked about once before that the boostagrams go in. They start the thread,
mm-hmm.
You know, that's probably where this needs to go is that the boostagrams, as they're happening, they get cross posted over to
the root
activity
post
pub,
to the root post. A great idea.
I'm going to build that.
Oh, ladies and gentlemen, the pod sage gets the soldering iron.
There you go.
Burn myself.
Just, James, please jump in. Cause you're very opinionated and I appreciate your thoughts on this.
So one thing that worries me is having three separate places to chat and to comment and to leave messages that are intended to be public messages. So it really worries me that we've got a thing called Boostagrams over here, and then a thing called ActivityPub or Crosshat Comments or however that thing is going to work. And then we start talking about Nosta. and then we have an IRC chat room as well. All of my experience in community shows that you need nobody goes into, this is going to be a very English saying, but nobody goes into an empty pub. Right, you always want to be going in somewhere where there are other people already there, and so therefore making something, sharding your comments into three or four separate lists is just difficult. So it'd be really good to see a boostagram, for example, automatically appear in the ActivityPub. And that's social proof showing that, so-and-so has just given 100,000 sats. That's a great thing. Maybe I should be doing that. So you've got that kind of side of it. The other thing I would say is that ActivityPub, yes, it's a really complicated protocol to use and everything else. But actually, we don't need to. We genuinely do not need to care about that. All that the podcast app developer needs to care about is the Mastodon API. Because the Mastodon API is supported by other Fediverse
protocols, servers. Systems, yeah.
Yeah, and so all you have to have in your app is you have to have the correct OAuth once so that you're signing into your Activity Pub account. Once you have done that once, and that's a hurdle to get through, but once you've done that once, then you can post under your own ActivityPub account. It occurs to me that if you are, you know, if you're Fountain, which I'm an advisor for, but also Podverse or any of those other people, it occurs to me that if you do not have an ActivityPub account, then Fountain or whoever, it's not expensive to run an ActivityPub server.
A Mastodon server.
Yeah, it's not massively expensive to end up doing that. You could do that under the hood. You probably don't even need to tell people where it is, but you could actually do that under the hood and abstract all of that complicated stuff away so that you end up with something which is, which just works.
So, James, are you saying that, and by the way, you only have to disclose it once per show. Are you saying that the idea is to have everything flow into ActivityPub/Mastodon for the Mastodon API? Everything flows into the root post, and what the apps are showing ultimately is the ActivityPub output.
I think that's certainly one way of doing it. Yeah. And I think if you were to do that, then everything remains open, everything remains decentralized, everything is there. Now, that's a slight change to how Boostergrams have worked in the past. Boostergrams have kind of been kind of quasi-private. Yes, I'm sending a Boostergram in because you might read it out, but they're also, you don't have to read it out, and they might be a private thing. And I think we just need to, make that a little bit more obvious in the UI. But I think, again, quite a lot of this comes back to the UI. And what you were saying earlier, Adam, quite a lot of the issues that you have with cross-app comments at the moment are actually not technical issues at all.
Agreed.
They're issues around it's really hard to find the cross-app comments in a typical podcast app. And it would be great if there was a way of doing that more, simply. The other thing I was just going to say is the Podfriend comment about I want all podcasts on my system to have comments. Completely agree with that. And if you have a look at Good Pods, which is a podcast app, which is out there, they already have comments for every single podcast out there. The concern is, I've no idea whether anybody's commenting on any of the stuff I do. And I'm not necessarily, because I don't use that app, I'm not necessarily going to go and have a look at that app all the time. If there was a way for those comments to be, instead of just within that walled garden, to be federated out, and that might be federated out using a Good Pods Mastodon server, I don't know. But that seems to me to be the most sensible plan.
I think that the Good Pods example is perfect. It's very analogous to YouTube, because who owns your audience? Good Pods. Who owns your audience? YouTube. Why are people using YouTube comments? It's right there in your face. It's right there in your face.
Yeah.
Comments.
It's right there.
And you can read them while you're watching and or listening. It's just a UX thing. And I agree that what you're saying is you log into your instance once, and then you're always able to comment in any of the threads because, it's ActivityPub.
Because you're locked in.
Exactly. Yeah, and if you do it that way, if you log in, it takes burden off the app for the app isn't having to moderate. The app is not having to run an ActivityPub system. The app's not having to do – the back end of the app stays the same. And what you're doing is just you're putting – If in order to comment, I have to log in to my Mastodon or my Pleroma or whatever this is, if I have to log in to the thing that I'm already posting with and interacting with, then the owner of that instance, the existing moderation that happens on the instance, is in charge. The app doesn't have to take responsibility for the moderation of anything.
And let's do this the other way. If I'm a brand new user and a brand new user to whoever it might be, Fountain or Good Pods or whatever, then actually the de facto is that as I sign in to that app, it automatically builds behind the scenes. It automatically makes an ActivityPub account for me on their own Mastodon server. So they're not having to sign into any of this. Now you can go in the advanced settings and sign into my own ActivityPub stuff in the future. That's absolutely fine. But I think actually just make it really simple so that when if I've signed into Fountain or signed into, and I don't speak on their behalf obviously, but if I've signed into Good Pods, then it's automatically built something in the back end because all of those APIs are available. It's just having to have a Mastodon server or something similar or a Pleroma server hidden away there for those users that don't already have one. I think it's a really simple, in inverted commas, simple mechanism. And if there's a way of tying in a boostergram so that instead of sending the message in the boostergram, you send the message on the ActivityPub and you send a pointer in the boostergram message, that then gets rid of the length issues that we've got with boostergrams. It gets rid of... it gets rid of an awful lot of the issues of having two separate commenting systems that are apart. And you pull everything back to the ActivityPub. Those are all federated and away you go.
Wasn't that something Alex was evangelizing for, Dave, to separate the two out, or am I misunderstanding?
Yeah, that's right. And he built this.
He built a whole spec for it, didn't he?
Yeah, the JPT.
Of course he did. Of course he did.
Yeah. So that's... Yeah, I think that's a good way to go, and the reason I say I'll build it is because it sounds fairly simple to do, and it would give it visibility, which I just think that's the stumbling block, that's the suffering point right now is the visibility, and so anything that can be done to put it in front of people to make it more visible, I mean. Hell, I'll put it on the website. I mean, we could put surface those comments.
We can already boot. Yeah, there you go. There you go.
No, but I used to put for a while. I was putting Boostergram comments that I was getting from the Pod News Daily onto the Pod News website, which I was able to do through something that Oscar was doing at the time. And that, again, it's really good. It's really helpful social proof, showing that other people are leaving comments, showing that other people, what other people are leaving, what other people are saying. Super useful. And I think, this does come back to, if you're a podcaster, then it's actually quite lonely. Because you don't hear from your audience, you don't see your audience, you don't have any clue other than having a look at some OP3 stats, whether or not anybody's actually having a listen. But as soon as you start getting the comments in, as soon as you start seeing that community, all of a sudden, wow, this is such an exciting thing.
This is the kind of information and feedback that a host like Buzzsprout should be sponsoring your show for.
I think they're going to sign. It's just that they've not sent the paperwork.
I'm just trying to help out, James. I'm just trying. I help anybody raise money. Anybody, anytime.
Thank you.
Yeah, no. I mean, stats are a poor substitute for.
Well, that's what it's been. But if you ask anybody, why do you like this host? They got great stats. It's not because of the stats, because what do you get? A number and I pissed someone in Lithuania. I mean, that's pretty much the idea, but it's not about the numbers. It's about the love, the feedback that you're not really getting. It's fake almost. It's an aggregation. It's not that one-to-one. It's not that community, which podcasting is so good at, turns out.
The only thing wrong with that is there's not really anybody in Lithuania.
Bullshit. My wife is half Lithuanian. What are you talking about?
Yeah, but she's here. She's not there anymore.
Oh, that's right. The one Lithuanian is here. Yeah, you're right.
Yeah, it's like people from Vermont don't exist.
And she's a backup Russian, basically, if you think about it.
Backup Russian. The B team.
Now, James brought up Noster, and I just wanted to say something. Not about Noster specifically, but about the concept of these types of... peer-to-peer systems, storage systems, you know, IPFS, and, you know, there's a whole bunch of different things that are out there that we've talked about many times. And I had an experience, or Christopher Eisen and I had an experience, which was very telling, and I want to share that. So Christopher, who is the OPML RSS feed hound, what was his nickname?
The Swedish trickler.
The Swedish trickler. So yeah, he's gotten it into his craw with you, I think. You're conspiring with him to rebuild the entire daily source code archive feed. He's looking for images. He's going to do a complete 2.0. I mean, the whole works. And for a whole number of reasons, I don't have an archive of all these shows. And he finds one single BitTorrent sync node still running. And I used to publish my DSC at a certain point all on BTSync, if anybody can remember it.
I remember that, yeah.
Mm-hmm. BTSync also had this promise that they would be able to, you'd be able to do live streaming, and everyone, it would be shared bandwidth. You wouldn't need a server. And then I think they pivoted, got acquired, or something happened. But the fact that, oh my goodness, how many years is it now? I don't know when I did the last daily source code. Still available, despite domain name changes, company going out of business, being sold, no idea, you know, two divorces, three marriages, and there's one lone person still running a BTSync node with those archives. That says something about these systems that cannot be discounted.
That's a good point. Yeah, that's a good point. I mean, that's the promise of
It came true for me.
Yeah, that's the thing about it's funny that you went into that through the Nostr portal, because that's, you know, our thought portal, because that's the idea with even more so with the DHT space, with IPFS and those kinds of things, that once it's there, it's there. Like, it's not, it's almost like it becomes just like background radiation, where it just always exists.
Low level radiation. My Geiger counter is going. It's truly out there. You can live forever, basically. It's something really to be thought about. You know, you have a unique identifier to get something, and BTSync isn't even that great in my opinion, as a decentralized system. But it's
Resilio, I think is what they changed their name. That company is, they switched. I think that's their name now. Cause they went into they tried to compete with like Dropbox. And all that.
Yeah, exactly. They got VC money and they go, oh, we got to make some money. Dropbox is doing good. Let's do that.
Exactly. Yeah. Well, I mean, I think when it comes to growth, so this new class of user that we're talking about that loves, maybe new is not the right term. This different class of user that's been underrepresented in traditional podcast apps, it's the idea of growing podcasting with that user base as refugees, or that's probably not a right term either, but we've sort of seen that, like we saw that with Twitter. I mean, all of a sudden Twitter. People poured out of Twitter into Mastodon,
which I've always said it can happen. It happens all the time.
Mm. Yeah, there's been this huge migration, you know, of people away from Twitter into Mastodon, away from a closed ecosystem into an open federated system. The same thing can also happen from closed ecosystems like YouTube and Twitch over to podcasting if we've built the vision correctly. That was the vision that we laid out, you know, like a podcast movement in our talk that four people attended.
Not enough people came to the talk.
Yeah, because they were all at lunch, because it was during the lunch break.
It was all our fans.
Yeah, it was just singing to the choir. But like that was the vision, was that, okay, imagine a world where there's global notifications that go out in real time about podcasts that go live. And then, you know, and then you have live streams, and then you have chat, and then you have comments, and then you have payments. Like, that is the Twitch YouTube experience, and it can exist in a podcast app. Like, and it's not silly or pie in the sky to think of it, because we just saw it happen with Twitter.
Yeah, exactly.
We just saw everybody bail.
But we saw it happen with MySpace. We've seen it happen with so many things. GeoCities. I mean,
but I think AOL. This is the first time. But Adam, I think this is the first time it's happened where they've bailed not to another closed system, but to openness. Usually they bail out of openness into the closed system.
The funny thing is, they don't really realize what they've bailed into. I mean, when you see stories like CEO of Mastodon declines investment. CEO.
Some of the reporting about Mastodon has been just appalling, hasn't it? And just really bad. But yeah, I mean, to me, you've got a lot of very light podcast users who are using YouTube to listen to podcasts, who are using Spotify to listen to podcasts. That's where the light podcast users are. The heavy ones are using more bespoke apps. They're using Apple Podcasts if they have an Apple device. They're using other, Overcast and Pocket Casts and all that kind of stuff. And where the growth, I think, is taking those occasional podcast listeners who are still there on YouTube and on Spotify and pulling them over to an open app which has much better stuff in there. And I tell you what, if we can get cross-app comments working well before Spotify puts it in there, in their own app, then you can well see that is going to be one reason why people will want to make that particular switch.
And when I pitched to Joe Rogan to come to Podcasting 2.0 at the end of this end of his contract, I'd love to be able to pitch the fact that your comments will be back, man, and you'll have control of them.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah,
absolutely. When he joins Acast or whatever it is he's going to join,
I'm Podcast One. I'm sorry to report, I'm scheduled to appear in January. And James, I'm going back into the horrible confines of Rogan. But I shall promote our shit, brother. I'll tell you that.
Excellent.
that's funny. That I wonder. Somebody like. So you don't need a somebody.
I'm just going to say it right now. If that's what you're going to say, a lot of people say, if we just get a Rogan, it'll be all over. No. That's what you needed was an Elon Musk to fuck up Twitter. There was no big name that went to Mastodon. Pay attention, people.
Right. Right. What I was going to say is like, I wonder if a person like Rogan, the problem is we can't. Okay, I guess what I'm trying to do is still flesh out the vision there, because the vision is to get to these other users. Let me attack this in a different way. I came at it the wrong direction. When you think of podcast listeners, you think of a certain type of person. You can kind of see them in your head, and it's somebody that's not just the average person walking down the street. Like there's still this sort of box that you put podcast listeners into where they're, I don't want to say geeky, but they're sort of geeked out about what a podcast is. It's like people have to be into podcasting to listen to podcasts. And that's not, it's sort of like people who are into audiobooks are audiobook people. And like there's a chance here to grow podcasting. I think in order to get the YouTube people, in order to get radio people over to podcast apps, you have to make it less podcasty. I guess that's what I'm trying to say, is the podcast app itself has to be less
rigid. Yes.
On what a podcast listener is supposed to be.
Or what a podcast listening experience app is supposed to be. Have I not said this from day one?
Right.
Like, that's why I would appreciate Rufy's shit. It's like, what is this? Yeah, it's popping windows everywhere, but it's different.
There's a guy at work in our office that listens to, he's subscribed to Sirius XM, and he listens to it in his car, and then he listens to it on their streaming thing at his desk while he's working. And like, that guy could listen to, he could listen in a podcast app. If the content was there and if the interface was such that it looked like a normal player experience. Like if I guess what I'm saying is if the content was presented through the app, like, oh, here's some, here's live content. Here's like country music. Here's 100% retro. Here's, you know, talk radio. Here's this. Here's that.
Some fun,
you know,
shit. Yeah, here's podcast. Something, yeah, here's something different, Dave, to use.
Dave, yeah. You've just invented the iHeart app. And many congratulations for that. But that's exactly what the big radio groups are doing. They are merging live radio. So iHeart is like this. Audacy is like this. Radio.com up for sale, by the way, in case anybody wants to
those
buy
those guys
it.
Need money so bad they're selling the they domain name. That's so I feel badly. So bad for them. That's horrible.
I know, exactly.
Don't worry, investors. Don't worry, guys. We'll be able to cover payroll this month. We're selling radio.com.
Yeah, but the problem, James, is you can't. Yes, that's iHeart, but you can't. But they don't make any money off it. I mean, like, they're not. That's the this. This
no,
is not
agreed. I mean, they do make some money, but they don't make very much. I think in total, all of iHeart's podcasting stuff was about 6% of their of their revenue last quarter,
and 20% of their expense loss.
Oh, quite possibly. But I think, but you know, there is certainly, you know, the big radio groups and the BBC Sounds is the same. NPR One to an extent is the same. The ABC Listen app here in Australia. All of these apps are merging. Emerging the live and the on-demand and the on-demand music and the on-demand audio. I'm not necessarily sure that that is the problem. I think the problem is more, you know, I have just refilled my Fountain app just in case Adam mentions
the 100,000 sats. I owe yeah! some sats. Yeah!
Right. And I was in there going, oh God, how do I do this again? What am I, you know, I need to copy this, this invoice over onto Google Notes so that I can then open it on my laptop so that
you've got a crazy way of doing it. I don't know what you're doing.
Yeah. Exactly. How on earth do I get all of this done? But anyway, I think a lot of this comes down to user interface. I mean, it's what 100%. Adam was saying earlier about wanting to make the comments, you know, visible as soon as you're having a listen. A lot of this comes down to user interface, and I'm afraid, you know, as I know, because I'm good, I think, at the coding up a website, but I'm not very good at the IA. I'm not very good at the, you know, at the user interface of actually, you know, does this look pretty enough? Does it work? Yes. Does this look pretty enough? No. And I think that's probably where we've got to. We've got to
that's
a
where
point
you need me to make your interface beautiful.
Dave is the interface king, baby.
Oh yeah, they call me UI master. That's what.
I do have to say, you know, the Super Sucre OP3 pages that we've seen, but we can't talk about. One of the things, just to break those rules and say, is that it looks beautiful. And John has spent a long, long time making sure that every single pixel is right on that page and the graphs work in exactly the way that you expect and everything else. So,
yeah, but it's easy when you're a billionaire and you can do that 24 hours a day. I mean, that's very... But I think you make a really good point. We're at the UI UX level now with our issues. And considering where we're coming from, and of course I hear you with the filling up the wallets, etc. My wife Tina and I, we do a podcast only ever submitted to the index. We don't accept PayPal. We beg people. We try and help them. We answer emails, Instagrams personally, just to get, because people really want to. They really want to give they really want to support the show. They really want to do it. They want to get into the sats. And it's a lot of them are older, so 50 plus, and they're falling off the ledge and everything. So it is purely UI UX stuff. And we're going to get there because I've seen the improvements every single time. And I'll say that we have so many beautiful pieces. If you look at all the different apps, like, you know, my go-to web app is still CurioCaster. It's fast, like boom, I can get shit done. It does everything I want to do. Doesn't download. So there's other issues I have, but that's just of the nature of what it is. I look at Fountain. I'm not an advisor, but man, they are killing it on the marketing. they're giving you shit to share. It's like, I'm proud of the money I gave away. I want to share this. I'm pissed off that the first image was an old account. I want to show more money that I gave away. And this is another element that, you know, not everyone gets it. Everybody has a great piece they're doing. And I encourage all developers, look at everyone else. Look at what they're doing. There's so much to be learned from each other. And then ultimately, coming back to you, Dave, hell yeah, some new experience. I mean, once we start to tie, if we can really tie remote item and everything together, and I can play a song that someone has not licensed to ASCAP BMI, but they're 2.0, and then, you know, someone can listen to that. The sats flow to them automatically when they're listening to my show. They can click, and then there's the guy's whole, or a gal's whole album. I mean, these are dreams that I have.
Yeah, I think it's just one of those.
We have the blocks. We have all the pieces.
Yeah, and
I think we've got the pieces. We've got the stuff to put these things together. And Fountain has just released some incredible data about the growth of the amount of value for value podcasts, for example, which are out there.
I don't know anything about
10,600 podcasts using value for value out there now.
Well, we knew that. That's our stat.
That's grown from
zero.
Like 4,000 at the beginning of this year. Mm-hmm. So, you know, tremendously doubled. Grown. Oh, wow. Yeah. 6.7 million transactions on Fountain this year. 2.1 bitcoins sent to podcasters on Fountain.
Wow.
2.1. Yeah, wow. 35,000 James.
Yeah, that's
$3 million. It's $3 million next year.
Next year.
$3 billion.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah. 77,000 boosts sent on Fountain. I mean, you've got all of these, these numbers, which you guys are so responsible for. And, you know, you should really look back at 2022 as the year where this really turned a corner.
Professional, excellent segue, James. Thank you. I appreciate that.
Tone record.
2.1 gigaboosts. Tell us more about the past year, James. I know you've thought about, you're not even doing your own show. You're on vacation. You took a break. You're on. What do they call it? Hiatus.
Well, podcast weekly. Yes, has taken a 2 week holiday because, you know, we've got lives and we're doing other things.
How far did you have to dig into Google News this week to find any news story about podcasting?
I tell you, one of the biggest mistakes that I made when I made the Pod News website 6 or so years ago, when I built that thing, I built the classified ad system. And the classified ad system has, it will sell you ads on Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday. It has no concept of, you know, Christmas Day, Independence Day. It's got no concept of any public holidays whatsoever. And so therefore I have to publish every single day. It makes it easier to sell advertising that way. And that kind of makes sense. And so therefore for the last week, man, it's been, you know, desperately going through, does anything mention podcasts?
I have a comment on one of your stories from today.
Here we go.
No, I just want to make sure you understood because I thought it was a bigger story than maybe you realized. One podcasting is separating from Radio One. So I looked at the story and a podcast one. And I subscribed to the newsletter and so I clicked through. They filed an S-1. That's not just spinning out. That's filing to go public.
Yeah.
And you said, you know, potentially, but I mean, when you file an S-1, you've already hired lawyers. They've been up your ass for 6 months. This is much more than just hey, we're spinning out. It's a big deal. Are they insane? Yeah. Do you think that they can actually take this public?
Are they spinning out or are they spinning off? That's what I want.
Well,
they're spinning out of control.
I think, when you have a look at this, I think that Podcast One is all of the good stories are still around podcasting. Even talking about, you know, a potential recession and all of that. All of the good stories are still about podcasting. Their filing is a great read. If you are interested in raising money through podcasting. Their Finding is a great read because it has loads of really good,
very positive stuff.
Absolutely. And when you have a look at Live One, so Live One is a business which owns Podcast One right now. It's an events business. Events have been having a really rocky time over the last 3 years, partially because of COVID, but also because, you know, the world is changing as well.
Ticketmaster bullshit, all kinds of stuff.
So, you know, from Live One's point of view, Live One is not a great business, and Live One hasn't been a great business for the last 3 years or so. Podcast One, though, fantastic. And so my suspicion is that they're doing what iHeart has done, and they're splitting this company into two. They're splitting the company into the exciting bit that we can talk about a lot, that we can earn lots of money out of, and the bit that we aren't earning very much money out of, and at some point we might sell off.
So let's talk about that. Mm. So what do they, I have not read the S1 except for the marketing bit. What do they believe? That's the only thing that's important. What do they believe? Mm. All the rest is, if we fuck up, it's not our fault. You can't sue us. What do they believe the TAM is? What is the total addressable market they believe? Because if they're going public and they're talking about 6 million shares, I haven't looked at the capitalization, but the company itself will be worth more than all the advertising. No doubt it'll be valued at more than $1 billion. Otherwise, you're not going public at all these days. How does that square with the so-called $1 billion industry that podcasting is, which, as you know, I'm very skeptical of?
Yeah, very skeptical of. And the current figure, by the way, for 2021, not even 2022, which hasn't come out yet, of course, it won't be out for another 6 months or so, but the current figure is $1.4 billion, according to the IAB.
But these guys...
according to the IAB.
These guys did $32 million in 2022.
Yeah, so Podcast One earned $32 million in the year ending March 2022, which was a 36% improvement, they say.
I know, but where's the thought experiment I like to do? Mm. If you made $1 a second, it would take you 12 days to get to a million. If you earn $1 a second, it would take you 31 years to get to a billion. So a billion is so far off from this 32.3 million. These are one of the biggest players there is. Where is all the money? Mm. I see maybe a couple hundred million. I just don't see a billion, James. Unless it's they're combining things.
Yeah, so the way that 1 billion number, and by the way, that 1 billion number is a US-only number, so been 1 billion across the world for a long, long time.
Oh, it's just America. Oh, yeah, we're number one.
Only America.
We're number one.
So the way I understand that the IAB puts that number together is that, firstly, it's an estimate. Let's not forget the fact that it's an estimate. Oh, okay. The way that they do it is that they talk to all of their members, and they say, how much money have you made? How much do you know about your competitors in this space? How much money are they making? So that they can then come up with a total market estimate, which is what they've been doing since 2015.
Well, thank you. But that's my point.
It's a guess.
The two biggest players that have public kind. I mean, Spotify doesn't really break it out, but we got a pretty good idea they're losing money. So I'm just saying, where is it? And if it's
One is probably in terms of where it lies. I mean, it's ranked number 14. Number 14 on Podtrac's list of top podcast publishers, which means that it's probably about number 20. So you can imagine that.
We talked to Jim Ballas over there. For a while. He was there as their CTO, and he was. We had a cut. You know,
who did we talk to?
Jim Ballas.
Did I talk to him?
Maybe it was just me, but he was asking about podcasting 2.0 tags, and he was going to, you know, they were going to put some podcasting 2.0 stuff in their feeds and that kind of thing. And we had a couple of good meetings with him, and then he bailed and went to Magellan. And so I'm like, okay. Well, so you went to, that seemed like a move that didn't bode well for Podcast One. I mean, I'm just trying to read tea leaves from the outside here, but I thought, oh, okay, well, if somebody, if their CTO wants to get out and go to Magellan, which is, I mean, I have to assume that's, you know, not as big a vote company of confidence. Podcast One. Yeah. I mean, like that just didn't seem like a good thing to me.
How about this, James? I'm curious. Do you have any visibility, the surprise inside the Trojan horse of the podcast industrial complex that you are? Do you have any visibility on subscription revenue for, I guess Apple is the main one. Is Spotify still doing any? I mean, is there any real money in there?
Spotify revenue is garbage.
Yeah, I mean, I have asked Spotify, it's been a year now since you launched your subscription platform. You're going to start charging people 5% next year. And so given that, you know, I'd love to tell some good news stories about how your podcast subscription has been doing. Please, you know, let me know. Would love to write something about this. And as usual, whenever Crickets. You send anything to the Spotify, press people.
Here's a good question. Here's a question, James. Two Bitcoins through Fountain. Value for value, Bitcoin boostergrams to Spotify's subscription revenue for podcasting. How much more? I think value for value may have made more money than the Spotify subscription podcast.
Value for value may well have made more money from Spotify. But having said that, the only data that we've really got is weirdly from Sweden. And I appreciate that Sweden is different to the US, but
ACAS
stay
members?
With me. Stay with me. No, these are, numbers from the Institute for Advertising, I think. I don't speak Swedish and I've forgotten what the figure is. Ads research, I think. But anyway, they did some research earlier this month and they said that Swedish people this year have spent $14.5 million on podcast subscriptions, 14.5, and the podcast ad market in Sweden is worth 34.5 million. So if you were to turn that into US numbers and bulk up the population numbers,
I don't like you doing this, but okay, I'll take it from you. I don't like it.
I appreciate that, but I'm just trying to sort of contextualize it. That suggests that ad revenue is about $750 million. And that subscription revenue is about $300 million. Now, even if those figures are wildly inaccurate, you can see that there is quite a lot of subscription revenue there, which I think is interesting. Now, that may be being driven a little bit by Podimo, which is very successful in some of the Nordic countries. It may be driven by other paid for podcast platforms that don't exist in North America. But however it works, to see, you know, ad revenues about 750 million and subscription revenue about 300 million, there's clearly some money happening there. And, you know, I have always said that the way that podcasting is going to earn money is going to be a mix of all kinds of things. And it's not just going to be ad revenue. It's going to be value for value. It's going to be a subscription service if you want to run those. It's going to be a mix of all of those. It's going to be donations. It's going to be, you know, doing shows in theaters, as quite a lot of people are doing. All of that kind of stuff.
Is that
all
a podcast? Of those are good. Is doing a show in a theater, is that still a podcast?
It depends if you record it or not.
Well answered. Well answered. And if you attach it as an enclosure, correct?
Yes.
Good answer. Yeah. Well,
Richard Herring does a great podcast that he records in front of a studio audience every week, which is a fantastic thing. So, yeah.
Do you think that they're just capturing that Swedish thing is odd because, I mean, do you think they're just capturing a majority of the Swedish language podcasting market or audio market? I mean, that seems oddly high.
It does, but I think on the other side, and, you know, I mean, just having a look through Pod News stories I've covered around Sweden, there's a company called Storytel, which has just raised a lot of money, and they are an audiobook and ebook subscription service, and maybe they're in that list as well. Third Ear Studio, which is a company, claims 20,000 subscribers, and they charge $5 a month, 50 Swedish crowns. They've just earned some money. So there's clearly something going on in Sweden, and I don't think you can necessarily instantly compare what's going on in Sweden with what's going on
Martin,
in the US.
But, Martin Lindskog says PodMe is a Swedish podcast subscription app that has several subscribers. They started out with True Crime Podcast. But the Swedish just love giving money to podcasts. I mean, there's just like a national pride or something. I don't know what that
maybe
is.
Maybe that's the thing. Maybe we should all move to Sweden.
Really? Stockholm, where your car blows up. So, it's a very small country. They have a community
it's
that grows
bigger than Lithuania. I'll tell you,
that's right. But Sweden has always embraced podcasting from early on. I've always had Swedish listeners, always, yes. And we have Martin Lindskog. We have so many different, and they're into podcasting themselves. It's the community aspect somehow, because it's so dark
and
up there.
We shouldn't forget as well, of course, that people in those countries speak English just as well as they do Swedish.
I speak Swedish, so there you go.
Excellent, lekker. So I think from that point of view, you know, the Nordic countries are always interesting to peer into just because they are a little bit different. But I think I've moderated a couple of sessions on subscription services. I've had people like Donald Tenderfoot TV, Donald Albright speaking, and the guys from Sony speaking, and everything else, and they're all saying that they are earning money from subscriptions. They're possibly not covering all of their costs yet, because it's still early days, but they are earning money, and they can also see a real benefit, which is the benefit from the Apple Podcasts benefit of, if you start selling subscriptions within Apple Podcasts, then all of a sudden Apple Podcasts seem very keen to promote you, and they'll promote you all over the app.
Right.
And from talking to Donald Albright about this, he was pretty candid in saying, look, we see this as being something that, yes, we're earning some revenue from, but it's also a marketing cost to us, that actually we get incredible marketing from Apple Podcasts because we are selling stuff. And of course, Tim Apple keeps 30% of everything. So therefore, Tim Apple will be very, very happy about all of that. Hence why Apple really ought to be launching an Android app, and I'm still very surprised that they haven't. And you'll notice in your inbox, see one of those pews earlier on was me sending my money for this year.
Yes. And 100,000 sats from James Cridland. They will do it, Adam. They're not stupid. That's right. You are a big baller. 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 All right, baller.
A man who talks and sends a boost at the same time. That's a that's impressive.
Multitasking. Very nice. There you very go. Nice.
So maybe that's the thing. But I find all of this fascinating, all of the different ways that people are making revenue through advertising. And also, by the way, just seeing the amount of podcast hosting companies who have tried to launch free podcast hosting companies just purely powered by advertising. And Podcast One was one of those who launched something. I think it was called Launchpad, wasn't it?
I don't know. They killed it.
And they ended up killing it because they couldn't get the maths to work. Libsyn killed theirs.
You made such a good point, though, earlier. Like, this is so...
Thank you.
Well, let me get it out first.
It doesn't matter what it is.
James has taken it. Okay. Like,
thank you very much.
You made a good point.
I'll be clipping that.
James Cridland said something brilliant. And I agree. Hosting companies, this is a great idea. The idea that you have something that gives your new customer, trial period, whatever, some joy. Even if you give them a value for value setup, and whenever you have a new podcast launch, you know what? Just fire up have your team fire up an app, listen to a couple minutes of it, send a couple of streaming sats. Boom, you've got a customer for life.
Yeah. Yeah. Absolutely. Absolutely. I think podcast hosts, and I used to be an advisor for a podcast host. And so therefore, you know,
That's where you made your millions.
I've sort of looked. Yeah. Right. So I've looked into that, and podcast hosting companies I always find fascinating because there are so many more things that they could be doing to basically give their podcasters a pat on the back and say, you're doing a great job. Keep it up.
Yeah.
And the more that they do that, so when I did the, I took Apple's data for the top podcasts of 2022, according to their slightly opaque, algorithm. And I went through and produced all of those for every single country, which is available on the PodNews website. And in there, you can see where each one of these shows are hosted by. Uh-huh. And I pointed out to a few of my friends in the podcast hosting industry, I said, oh, by the way, have a look at, you know, wherever it was, Sweden. There are eight podcasts in the top 10 hosted with your podcast company. You might want to make a story about that, or, you know, pat them on the back or whatever it is. I think that there's an awful lot of opportunity for podcast companies to basically go, you're doing a fantastic job. How can we be helping you more?
Todd over Blueberry seemed to indicate
a great job of that. Yeah.
Yeah. But he said on his show that he did not want a list out there of his top shows because he was afraid that would encourage other. Yeah. They get poached. Mm. And that's bothersome too, because I don't know how, like, it's sort of like the reason that colleges, universities give away scholarships. It's like, well, you know, you give a scholarship is marketing for your university. It's a cost, but you say, okay, well, we're going to show, look at all this talent we're bringing in. We're giving away all this money, but we're bringing in the top minds. And, you begin to get a reputation as that's the place to be, that, you know, because they give away scholarships to the best and the brightest. Like, I would think that the hosting companies would want to have that cachet, you know, let's say, look at these, we have so much confidence. We're willing to show you, you know, these are our big names. You know, you should come host with us because look at all these other great podcasts that are in the top, you know, top tiers that are hosting with us as well. I guess I just don't understand the fear there.
Yeah, and I guess also that actually some podcasters don't want you to know what their numbers are. You know, there's a reason why the PodNews Weekly Review isn't in OP3, but the PodNews Daily is. I don't care how many people see my figures for the PodNews Daily. I want people to see all of those figures. The PodNews Weekly Review is a fascinating show, and it's a show that I've really enjoyed doing. But the download numbers are not as high as you might expect them to be. The fact that some really fascinating people listen to that show every single week is very different from the fact that the actual raw numbers are not as high as you might expect.
Exactly.
And so I don't necessarily want people seeing those.
Well, but I would say that's you hit the nail on the head right there. Like, the people who listen to this show are highly intelligent, obviously. Self-starters, motivated. Okay, we have 8,500. I'm blown away by that. I wish I could find 8,000 smart, highly motivated people. So the people who listen to PodNews or PodNews Weekly Review, they're going to be very valuable people for some advertisers.
Oh, yeah.
So numbers by themselves are just horseshit. By the way, I want to do a little exercise here. Rob Greenlee recently left Libsyn because we were talking about hosting companies. I have a feeling that a hosting company will probably have to lose one in the downturn. And I was just looking at Rob Greenlee. I think he may be the ultimate canary in the coal mine if we look at his career on LinkedIn. So in 2000,
I like this thought experiment. Let's get please.
Yes, 2000. He was the marketing director at Shopper Box Networks. James, do you know? I think they may be gone.
I've never heard of Shopper Box Networks.
Then he was director of marketing and business development, Personal Design Concepts. I don't think they did very well. Then online media marketing consultant at My Talk Radio. Are they still around? Okay. Nope. senior marketing manager at Melodio. Oh my goodness, they're definitely gone. Then Zune, of course. That was a very that device worked. Then he was at Podcast One, which is now spinning off into oblivion. Head of content at Spreaker. Well, Spreaker, I guess, is still popular.
They're still, yeah.
They get a lot of shows. I think Podcast One is spinning off to be even more successful. Oh. I think Spreaker is pretty good.
Podcast One has $35 million in revenue. Come on. Well, come on. Come on. Stop. Stop.
I'm just trying to.
No,
I'm
no. Just trying to, head of partnerships, Voxnest. Voxnest. I don't remember what that was.
Yep. They are one of the podcast hosting companies that iHeart own.
Okay, so they're desperation. Which is also they sold.
Spreaker, by the way,
then he's VP of. So Libsyn is next. It's obvious. Libsyn is the next one to go because now he's at Podbean. I haven't gotten a call from him as a Podbean SVP of content and partnerships.
Yeah, where's their 2.0 stuff, Rob?
No, he's only been there for a couple of weeks, but I think on the other side, Libsyn is a fascinating company who have some very strong personalities there. Let's just say that, and I think they've got their plans, and they've got some quite large, quite big people who are working at that company. I have always been baffled by that company. I have to say,
Dave, didn't we have a call with a new guy over there?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's
he was real nice. Is he fired? Has he been fired yet?
I don't know. We had a great call.
It was months ago.
Yeah, I think they said that they're gonna do some stuff in January.
I'm so tired. Honestly, I love everybody. I really do. This is kind of good to tell behind the scenes. Dave and I, we do everything we can for Podcasting 2.0. And again. This is our
endless meetings. This is
our love for the medium that we don't get paid for this. There's really, the deal. We're pretty transparent. We're very transparent about it. So we had a call with TuneIn, like, yeah, cool. And do all this stuff. It's like, okay, well, we really can't do anything unless you have, insurance. So we get insurance. We get, whatever bullshit insurance. It's not that expensive, but we didn't have any business insurance in case whatever. We do all these things. We bend over backwards, and these people come in and they fucking disappear.
Yeah, you never hear from them.
I mean, we have had so many different things, and we're literally giving stuff away for free. I've got my partner Dave Jones giving away his time for free, helping all these people out, and these companies, they just can't do it. They can't get their shit together. I mean, we had a mobile. Are those guys still around? Yes, they
are still.
Oh, then I won't slam them. Yes. Then. I still have hope. Have hope for them.
Yes,
what else is he going to say? Be quiet.
But it takes time to get stuff done in larger companies, and I think
years.
I mean, look, when I joined the BBC in 2007, they were talking about some personalized radio project that they were working on, and they still haven't launched it, but they still keep on announcing it every year or so. It's, oh yes, it's coming. It's going to be really, really good. And they still haven't launched it. And I think, as soon as you work with large companies, it's very, very slow. But I think also on the other side, people talk to, they'll talk to you, they'll talk to me, because they've been told to talk to us by someone else. They end up talking to you or talking to me, and they go, great, right, we've done that. We can tick that off. And now I won't be hassled by this guy. Have you spoken to Adam yet? And I think a lot of it is that as well. But I think, it's worthwhile doing, because 9 out of 10 of those meetings are going to be, frankly, wastes of time. But 1 out of 10 of those meetings are going to be those meetings that move things forward tremendously fast. So yeah, I think it's always worthwhile doing that.
Well, the thing is, I don't see any benefit, really. these people, they have nothing but demands. Everything's complicated. Mm. Everything has to go through legal. I mean, really, it really is a huge pain in the ass. Nothing totally. Comes out of it. It's more of a pain in the ass for Dave because, you know, he winds up then, you know, they say, okay, well, we're going to have the IT guy talk to Dave. And then it just devolves into more bull crap. Yeah. It's so bad. It reminds me. Go ahead.
This is the funny one. We had a meeting with some guy, and then he comes back and he's like, okay, we're going to need you to, this is the kind of stuff that happens. He's like, we're going to need you to, we're going to need a special terms of service that we're going to modify. We're going to red mark it up or whatever they call it. We're going to mark up your terms of service, send it back to you and have you sign it. Yeah. And we were going to get a special terms of service for this one company, this one big company, to use our API to get podcast data.
And anything that goes wrong, we're fucked.
Exactly. It was like 15 different ways that we're going to get sued into oblivion. And I was like, no, I'm not doing that. Yeah. And so then we went back and forth. And after like four meetings, this is like 4 hours of time away from my day job of trying to help this guy. And I was like, finally, I was like, you know, you don't need all this because our full database is downloadable on our homepage. I said, it's for free. If you go download it right now, I won't even know. and it was like he never thought about it. It's like it never crossed his mind.
This reminds me, I'm old, but if anyone feels like it, look up the Danny Kaye movie, A Song Is Born. It's from 1948. And Danny Kaye is a professor at a musical research institution. It's a whole room full of bachelor professors. And they're just in there writing the Encyclopedia of Music. And so this gangster guy has a girlfriend and she's the nightclub singer, whatever. So she comes into Danny Kaye's life and all of a sudden he's kind of forced back into the world and he's in nightlife. And they've been writing this whole encyclopedia of music. And it turns out jazz has been happening for 5 years and they have to throw out the whole thing. And that's what this reminds me of. These people are doing, you know, Beethoven and jazz is happening, baby. We're da, ba, 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 ba. We're doing shit. We're running with scissors. And they're still in the encyclopedia of Mozart. That's what it feels like. And you know what, Dave? If we had a meeting, like, I'd say no more. Just no more of that.
Tone Wrecker said it's time to require a boost for Satoshis for a meeting, for a deposit.
Yeah, but imagine getting the purchase orders, the purchase order form done for that. I mean, that would be a nightmare. Yeah.
Speaking of, let me thank a couple of people who have been boosting us live very diligently because we are, where are we at? Oh, my goodness. We're moving up in time here. A lot of people helping us out for the end of year. We have, let me see, Martin Lindskog, as you already read that, Podme. Is a Swedish he sent us a row of ducks there, 2222 podcast subscription app that has several subscribers. Start out with True Crime Podcast. A small Satchel of Richards from Tone Wrecker. This is my new
Satchel of Richards. I like
that. Yeah, 1111. That's in America we say bag of dicks. This is not confetti.
Yes, I was just getting there.
These are the entrails Booberry needs to see. Okay. Then there's your 100,000 sats, James. Thank you very much. Another 1999 from Tone Wrecker, who says, appreciate the later live session today. A chance to sit in the chat finally while logged out of work. See, this is people love that. Let's see. Ned with 10,000. No DJ, not VJ. PB&J, pod boosted jockey. We'll work on it, Ned. Let's see. We have Booberry, 33,333. Next week makes a promo. Next week makes 100 live episodes of BTS in the can going live with IRC. Voicemail line is such a killer combo. 10 out of 10 would recommend. If he don't mind him saying so himself. Yes. Congratulations.
Congrats on 100.
There's Mike Dell with 55. Last boost of 2022. Thank you very much, Mike.
Thank you, Mike.
Big help. Another Martin Lindskog Row Ducks. Hard to do the multitasking. Listen to co-hosts, guests, check the Saturn, boostograms, IRC chat, messages, etc. Yeah, that's what DJs used to do, man. Until automated systems came along. We had to queue up records.
Remember that, James? Outside to the fax machine.
Wow, that's right. Hit the fax machine.
For the travel news. Yeah. Because that couldn't be in the studio, could it?
And you had to, and we had carts. We had carts.
That's carts. Right. We had to get the next ad break. Put or that, if you were doing split ads, you'd have to get the next two sets of
that's
ad breaks.
Right.
Make sure that they all added up to the... And you tell the young people of today, and they won't understand any of this.
And then there's the hotline. Oh, shit, the program director's hotlining me. I said something wrong. we have PC2O to the moon, 2023 and beyond, says NV4X3333, always boosting us, coming in from CurioCaster. Let me see. We had, we already did the boobery bong rip, and I think that's it for our pre-boost. We appreciate that very much. Shall we thank some other people, Dave, while we're at this?
Yeah, we got a PayPal. We got two PayPals, actually. We got one from
two PayPals. Yeah. We have transitioned, baby. We are out.
We got a 200 from the boys over at Fountain. Oh. Oscar gave us $200. Thank you, Oscar. We appreciate that
very much. I think that's a baller.
Shot caller, 20-inch blades on the Impala.
Very much.
Did you approve that expense in the advisor meeting, James?
Now that's not fair, Dave. I already told him I wouldn't bust him.
I have literally only spoken to them once as an advisor.
Okay. So.
Well, they're not getting their money's worth. They need to work on that.
And they need to call you. And they're not paying me. Just to be really clear, they're not paying me. So.
We need to talk, James. I mean, we need to work on your career here. Let me be your agent. I think you can take this. You can write this up and say, look, here's my summary. I did some work, and we've given you lots of great ideas.
Yeah, marketing.
Totally. James, are you secretly responsible for the marketing ideas? Because they're pretty good.
They are really good. They do know what they're doing. They do know what they're doing. So, yeah.
I'm impressed.
A good company. It's great to be involved.
Love those guys. Time to get Oscar back on the show. We hadn't had him in forever.
I told him when he has something to release, then we'll have him back on. Got to.
Yeah, I'm waiting for live. I'm hoping he'll do live soon. That's what I'm counting on. Thomas Umstadt gave us $50, and he says,
thank you.
For cross-app comments, why not use the RSS 2.0 comments sub-element? Loading the URL in an in-app browser gives separation to make app developers feel safe. Thousands of WordPress podcasters already use this sub-element. Go commenting, Thomas Umstadt.
Hold on a second. That is in the RSS spec, isn't it? Yeah, I think there's a comment tag. Yes, there is a comment tag in the RSS 2.0 spec.
Are you looking at it?
Yeah. RSS 2.0 adds the capability following RSS feed may contain elements and attributes not described on this page. It has that's extending. I was like, comments. RSS places restrictions on the first non-white space, blah, 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 blah. There is a comments field in RSS 2.0.
I don't see it. I'm looking for the, let's see. Comment. Oh, yeah, there it is. Comments, James, sub-element of item. Yeah, his optional sub-element. If present, it is the URL of the comments page for the item. More about comments here.
That's interesting. How did we miss that?
I don't know. Is it in? He said that
it's in RSS 2.0. It's in RSS 2.0. It's in the 2.0 spec.
But is it used in the wild? I mean,
fuck
like,
no.
Is it out there?
Of course
there?
Not. Of course not. No. No. Anything that's useful, we've evangelized. We've beat the payment. We've worked on it.
Oh, this is like the source tag. You know, it's a great idea, wonderful right. idea, but it barely exists in the wild. Like, we used it for Freedom Control, and that's the first time I've ever seen it.
Yeah.
I don't know. This, I mean, it's an interesting concept. I want to...
Something to look at.
Do
something
some
to
research.
Look at.
Yeah, we should do some research. I mean, I'm guessing he's talking about opening in an iframe or something, or a web view. I'm not sure, but I'll have to engage with him on podcast and stuff.
Interesting.
Yeah, we got some. Thanks, Thomas. Appreciate that, man. Some boostergrams. Dylan gave us 6,500 sats through Fountain, and he says there's only one real Jack on Noster, and he didn't use the hang 10 emoji. Noster is developing quickly, including a way to verify offsite. What he did was give 14 BTC to one of the devs working on one app, whose first act was to give half of that to the dev working on another Noster app, which sounds great to me. Way too soon to tell where it's going to go, but that's part of what makes it feel fun and
Yeah. Well, it was most definitely Jack Dorsey, because I have I have communications with Jack Dorsey. And from time to time, I say, hey, Jack Dorsey, podcasting 2.0. And then he doesn't talk to me for a while.
This is a trend. This happens a lot, actually.
I know. Yeah. Hey, I'm not bashful. It's like all of a sudden Jack Dorsey's like doing a hang 10 emoji on my Noster account. So I'm like, hey.
That was the only time that's ever worked really well is when we met with the Pocket Cast people. And it's like, hey, we want y'all to do this and this and this and this. And they were like, yeah, okay.
Right. I did ping Matt, but I haven't heard back from him, so I don't know what's going on.
Oh, cool. Okay.
Well, cool. He hasn't answered me, and not cool.
Well, I mean, it's cool. It's cool that something happened. I'm being positive. I know.
We moved the needle. We moved the needle a little bit.
Dylan, again, 22, zero ducks, 2222. Through Fountain, he says, regarding my last boost. Okay, that was Jack. But my point still stands that there's a lot of fake Jacks on Noster.
I was right. It was Jack, exactly. You're like, you don't talk to Jack, man.
It's like, okay.
You'd be amazed who I talk to, people.
Gene Everett, 250,000 sats through Fountain.
Holy moly.
Wow. 20 inch blaze on the Impala.
I don't know how much money that is in dollars. I just love the idea.
I don't even know.
No, yeah,
Merry Christmas. Boost, boost, boost.
Oh, thank you, man.
Boost, boost, boost.
Kniga, is that right?
Kniga?
Yeah.
Oh, right.
Did I say it right?
Yeah, that guy. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
Kniga. Keep it at 80, that. Yeah.
80,000 sats.
What?
Through Fountain. No note.
Holy crap.
Boost.
Nice, man. Thank you.
Yeah, no, not even a
not
note.
Not even a note?
Satoshi Stream, 10,552 sats. Thank you for sending that, Satoshi Stream, because I was afraid you were dead. We haven't heard from you in
forever. Yeah, how are those guys? Boost. How are those? How you doing? How you doing, Boosters?
How you doing, Booster?
He says, congrats on the whole coin node. Oh, thanks.
And how are you guys doing? Should we have those guys on? Have we ever had those guys on?
Yeah, I'm just afraid that he's going to use some sort of voice masker, like, you know, so that we can't tell who he is.
Yeah.
I don't know. He seems like one of the NIM guys.
I am from the Satoshi Streams. Congratulations on your two coins.
Yeah, and it's a girl, though.
Oh.
Yeah. Okay.
Roy Scheinfeld, 54321.
Hello, Roy.
From Breeze, and he says, Merry Christmas, with two cute emojis. Thank you, Roy.
And Happy Hanukkah, although it's over now, but Happy Hanukkah.
Thank you, brother. 40,000 sats from Ninja Mort.
Nice.
Through Fountain.
Thank you.
And he says, Happy Christmas. Well, Happy Christmas to you, Ninja Mort.
He must be in the UK.
Boost.
Oh, yeah. Do they say Happy Christmas in the UK? Is that the thing? They don't say Merry Christmas.
James?
Well, you know, Happy Christmas, you know, alcohol and stuff. You want to steer clear of Merry. So,
it's happy. The UK says Happy Christmas.
Yeah.
Christmas. I've read my Charles Dickens. I know there's a Merry Christmas in there.
Oh, by the way, if you read your Charles Dickens, you must see Spirited. It's a redo of The Christmas Story with Will Ferrell.
Oh, okay.
It's dynamite. It's a musical. It's for a new generation of the Scrooge story. It's fantastic.
Of course, I was Will Ferrell's warm-up man at podcast movement last year.
You were his fluffer. Playing,
if you remember that. I was his warm-up man.
Sorry, I missed that one. Did you meet him?
No.
No, of course not.
What was hilarious is I was the warm-up man. I was standing on stage for about 15 minutes.
Warming
everybody up and realizing that this was the first time that I'd stood on a stage for 2.5 years. So no wonder I was feeling so nervous given the pandemic and everything.
Yeah.
And Will Ferrell sort of appears after me and does his shtick, and I didn't even see him. So
there we go. That's lame.
There you go.
I'll put it on your CV. That's good.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Worked with Will
and
Ferrell.
Board member of the podcast index.
Absolutely.
Absolutely.
Not thrice over. Esteemed board member. Board member. Yes.
Some quack sent us a row of ducks, 2222, in through Fountain. He says, always enjoyable. Happy holidays.
Happy holidays to you.
Absurdient, 10,000 sats through Fountain, but no note from Absurdient. And Vake, V-A-K-E, sent us a 2500 sats through fountain, but no note. Row of Sticks from George Orwell, no note. Oh, Oscar Mary,
250,000
sats. 20 inch blaze on the Impala.
Bam! It's eggnog for everybody.
Cracking rum.
Thank you, Oscar.
Raise your glasses. Merry Christmas, guys. Been working hard trying to get Fountain 0.6 out before the end of the year.
Can I just say something?
Yes, you can.
Do not repeat, Oscar. Do not release anything on New Year's Eve. You never release before a holiday.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you'll be working
the middle of the night dealing with all kinds of shit. Keep it until January 3rd, brother.
Yeah, no change Fridays.
No, we've been in the trenches on that.
Merry Christmas, guys. Been working hard trying to get Fountain Point 6 out before the end of the year. Once that's live, we'll definitely take a look at Noster and see if it's possible to bridge what we've done with Boosts.
Oh, goodness. No. Stop. Just calm down. Calm down.
No, I think he's talking about over to Activity Pub.
Still. Calm down. Goodness.
Yeah, well,
there's a lot going on.
Smart guys.
I'm just giving my personal opinion. Calm down. Just listen.
The Noster thing was like a bomb that went off inside. It's like everybody was just like, okay, we're feeling good, got this thing, and it was like Noster. Oh God, because it was like one more protocol.
Have a smoke and a pancake.
Right. Yes. By the way, I will point out that Sam Sethi just boosted 100,000 sats. No wager necessary. Happy New Year. And then, of course, it's a promotion. Pod fans in 2023. Yo!
No, he was afraid that James wouldn't pay. So he was giving backstop.
Hey, is that Pod fans live yet?
He said it was January, right? I think it's January.
Is it podfans.com?
I don't know where it's at. It's in a top secret bunker.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I'm excited. Yeah,
Podfans.audio.
Is that what it is?
Podfans.live.
It's at radio.com. What?
Yeah. Radio.
That'd be cool if Sam
Mega
bought
investors
that.
There. Yeah. Is it surprise? Yeah, he says, let's see if it's possible to bridge what we've done with Boosts and comments on Fountain to allow it to work cross app. Amazing year and excited for 2023. Go podcasting.
Thank you, Mary Oscar. Hold on a second.
Go podcasting!
So proud of that jingle.
1337, the Elite Boost from Gene Bean. He says, I think you all are wrong about people not wanting comments. I think most people don't know it's an option devs could provide.
Yep.
I think ActivityPub comments done directly in podcast apps via an OAuth flow like Mastodon clients wouldn't be welcome. Well, that's James agrees with you. That's what he said.
That's right. Who was this?
No, that was Gene Bean.
Gene Bean, we're just going to defragment you.
You've been defragmented.
Just make sure you're healthy.
Oh, yeah. You don't. Yeah, it's getting rough out there. Crow Knuckle, 3333 through Fountain. No note from Crow Knuckle. See, True Grits, 6,000 sats through Fountain. He says, you should have Chris Last from Jupiter Broadcasting back on to talk about membership paywall content. In addition to Boosts, works for his network. Also, congrats on the full term Bitcoin baby. Yes, we made it 9 months.
Well, this is Albie Konchaks are working on something like that. We'll see how that works. I'm curious.
Yeah, and just if anybody's curious, I'll look at the daily report. Yeah, we did. We hit one Bitcoin on the node, and 72% of that is active in channels providing liquidity. So that gives you a snapshot of where we're at.
And we can open more channels, people. Mm-hmm. We've got liquidity. If you need liquidity, we're happy to open a channel.
It's opening more channels and actually boosting the size of existing channels too, which will, you know,
that's the main thing. Yeah. We definitely have to do that.
I mean, we had to scale up with Fountain, you know, recently because they just couldn't get the boost through. There was not a big enough channel. Auburn Citadel,
yep.
1998 sats. Thank you, Auburn Citadel. No note. Oh, this is one of Auburn Citadel streamers, double in a row. Chaos 99, 2200 sats through Fountain. And he says, enjoy podcasting 2.0. A masterclass is the true spirit of agile delivery. A truly invested product owner in Adam and Dave representing the product team with first principles in developing a viable product. Well, that was.
I don't know what nice. You said, but I'll give you a Stanley boost for that. I'll take it.
Martin Lindeskog, 222-222.
Wow.
That's 222,222
sats. Impala, shot caller, 20-inch blaze on the Impala.
Oh, man. Double eggnog.
That's through Podverse. Nice. Cool. Big boost coming in through Podverse, yeah. Adam and Dave, you have the ducks. Six ducks, 222-222. In a row, I look forward to becoming Podcasting 2.0 certified during 2023. T-shirt size medium. Have a prosperous new year. Martin Lindeskog, Tea Party Media Podcast.
Wait a minute. Hasn't Martin already hit the threshold for a T-shirt?
Oh, yeah. That was it. He just hit it.
Yes. We got to send him that. I love his style, man. He's got a cool look. He's got a cool look. I like him. Have you ever listened to his podcast? You should. It's pretty interesting.
I haven't listened yet. Mm-hmm. Martin, send me your address. Email it to me so I know where to send it. And we'll get you taken
care of. Or just send another boostergram with it. I'll be fine.
Yeah. It's good to always help.
I'm still waiting for my stickers, Todd.
Oh, the tone wrecker.
Me too.
Oh, is Todd
Todd is a welcher, man. He's welching on the stickers. Yeah, was it 50,000? What was it for the stickers? I don't remember. It was a big number.
I sent him stickers because if you sent him stickers, then he would send stickers back.
And no. He said if I sent it, it was like some boost amount, and he would send stickers. And then I boosted the same amount with my address.
Oh, I remember that. Yes, you did. You did do that.
Still no stickers.
Tone Wrecker sent us 55,555 through Breeze, and he says Sammy Hagar boost. I think that's right. I think that is a Sammy Hagar boost. Boom! 25,000 sats from Dovi Doss at rssblue.com.
Ooh, beautiful.
Breeze, and he says, Happy New Year, starting to celebrate even earlier than Australians, just to send this boostergram.
Aw.
Boost, boost, boost.
Yeah, that's right. James, you're celebrating New Year's in what, 12 hours from now?
Yes. Yes, indeed, in 13 hours from now. And if you're watching ABC TV here, then I will be singing Auld Lang Syne just after the fireworks at midnight.
Really? Is this a paid gig?
Along with another 700 people, but nevertheless, okay. I will be singing it.
Well, are you in studio?
We recorded it about 2 months ago, and we were all taught. It's in a pub, and it's all in four-part harmony, and it's going to be good fun.
Just to share for a moment. So MTV always used to do this New Year's Eve big thing, very much like Dick Clark or now Ryan Seacrest. And in fact, my first on-air appearance at MTV was 1987, going into 1988. They said, okay, Adam, we want you on Times Square. Now, Times Square then was dangerous. You could get killed in Times Square. Now you can be drunk, fall down, and you bounce back because it's all rubber. And there's no cars. So I had a bodyguard with a gun. I was really exciting back then. You know, hundreds of thousands of my best friends. And I was reporting down there. But then in later years, we would always have the big New Year's Eve celebration bash with all these artists, which we'd record in July. And it was, I hated that. It sucked so bad. So bad. It's so fake. It's so typical television. I hate it.
Mm. Now, real stuff is a really important thing, isn't it? Yeah.
The way it used to be when we were young, James.
Oh, yeah.
How old are you? What are you? Are you 50 yet?
I am 51. Am I? Yes, I'm 51. Yeah.
There you go. Yeah.
All right. How old are you?
Dave's the young'un here.
Oh, I'm a baby. I'm an absolute baby. Yeah. Yeah, 46.
Shit.
Wow. I remember 46. Everything was in black and white and there was a war on.
Yeah. Yeah. The siren would keep going off, right? You had to get under your desk. Yeah. Jake LSTR. Okay. I don't know how to pronounce it. 11111. He says, a row of dicks to round out the year. Happy New Year, Sir Jake, the hard gaze knight.
Sir Jake is, he's actually, he's a submariner. Remember, it's not gay if it's underway, everybody.
1776 from Boobery. And he says, Adam, can you rip that bong for me?
Oh, yeah, we already did that. Yeah, okay, so we're okay. back to the, we're almost at the delimiter.
Okay, we got the delimiter. He's right here. He's staring me in the face, the comic strip blogger.
Yes, everybody.
And he's 33,015 sass. He says, Dave, Adam.
Yes.
The precipice of change looms over humanity, and your contribution is appreciated. Attitudes formulated now will have long-lasting effects on the future of our species. So prescribe your listeners a hearty meal of the podcast AI.cooking. Stay ahead of the leaps that artificial sentience is making infotainment with your enigmatic narrator, Gregory William Forsyth Foreman. Yo.
So it's AI.cooking. And I think to round out the year, we should play his custom jingle, which I have had and used for, I would say, 16 years. 16, maybe 17 years. He's been around a long time.
Comic strip.
Comic strip. Comic strip. Blogger. Comic strip.
Comic strip.
Comic strip. Blogger. Comic strip.
Comic strip.
Kind of boring.
It is. Yes.
Comic strip.
Blogger.
There you go.
Thank you, comic strip blogger. Monthly guest, Michael Kimmerer, $5.33. Leslie Martin, $2. Dreb Scott. To Bruce Wayne of Podcasting 2.0, $15. Aaron Reno, $5. And Pedro Goncalves, $5. That's our group this week.
Thank you all very much. Value for value. You hear it here. It's working. It's for the podcast. It's for the project. You keep it all moving. You keep it rocking. Yeah, you heard. We have a full coin. It's on the node. We're providing liquidity. Hit us up. We're happy to do it. We love doing it. It's our retirement project. Please remember us when we're dead. Go to podcastindex.org. Down at the bottom, you got a donate button. You can use your fun fiat fun coupons there. You can even, I should check it again, I guess. You can even send us a whole Bitcoin if you want on chain. There's a QR code for it. Oddly enough, no one ever seems to do it. Even though, hey man, I'll donate if you can put it up in the Bitcoin. No, it's not true. Let me see. The last time we received anything through that was August 26th. So it's been quite a while.
No, it's on fire.
It's rocking. But get one of those newfangled podcast apps. Go to podnews.net/new-podcast-apps.
Nice.
This, that's well played.
Sir. Hey, well played. Right.
Good work.
Yes, nude podcast app.
Nudepodcastapps.com works. Yes, correct.
The one thing you will never get from this show is this message from Patreon that went out to their customers. Mm. We're happy to notify you that you have met or are well on your way to meeting the threshold to receive a 1099-K form for 2022. And this is my favorite part of this. It says, Form 1099-K is an IRS form used to report payment card and third-party network transactions in an effort to improve voluntary tax compliance.
Right.
Voluntary. That's an interesting term. We're going to give your information to the government so that you can voluntarily comply.
Yes. You will voluntary. Obey. You will. Oh, where's my obey clip?
Yes. It's totally voluntary. This. You don't have to.
Here it is. I knew I had it.
You will obey. You will obey. You will obey.
There you go. Well, there's a remix. There's a remix.
So, have more kale. 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 Have more kale.
You will
have
obey.
More kale.
You will
have
obey.
More kale. I like have
the remix. That's your programming for today.
Wow.
Yeah. Eat your kale.
Do you want to read, since this is the board meeting, do you want to read this on the air real quick, this account takedown request that we got? I mean, it's not private, right?
Yeah,
is that something we can discuss?
Well, the thing is, it was regarding one of the apps. It wasn't even regarding us, actually.
Did you read it?
I only quickly saw the screenshot. It looked like they said, "Hey, we have this link here," which they link, and that's not our link.
Yeah, but the website. I mean, the podcast is. So we basically got a. Let me see if I can generify this enough. We got a takedown request for a podcast. And it says this account is illegally falsifying the identity of fill in the blank by using its executive's name and image in the profile, violating the privacy policy of the client.
I love the privacy policy of the client, whatever that is.
It says, let me just kind of read through it here. Cause I'm interested to know what y'all's take is on this. It says, Greetings. We are the authorized representatives of fill in the blank, and they have brought this URL to our attention, and it's a link to a podcast app, to a certain podcast on a podcast app that clearly the podcast app uses our data as the back end. So I'm assuming that that's how they got in touch with us. It says this account, whatever that means, is illegally falsifying the identity of fill in the blank by using its executive's name and image in the profile, violating the privacy policy of the client. The site is falsifying the identity of our client by podcasting information which could impact the brand and reputation. Our client has requested the removal of these profiles as it is violating the company policies and doesn't belong to them. Kindly remove these profiles on priority.
Now, here's the problem. The email, the screenshot you sent me has a name. Is there a company? Is it a law firm? Is this a...
Well, it's a very generic sounding name with no website, which makes me suspicious. But at the same time, like, what's the point of this? Like, it doesn't seem like a phishing type scam unless it's...
Well, it's not coming... I'm just looking at the email address. It's not coming from a law firm.
No.
I generally see this as a big pile of horse shit. If you're a lawyer and you're doing a takedown, then there's a procedure for that. James,
there's a way of doing that.
Yeah. What is the procedure?
I filled in a number of DMCA claim forms on Anchor, because there are some shows on Anchor called Pod News, and Pod News is a registered trademark, and I've spent a lot of money in the US and in Canada for it. And no, you don't get to launch your own podcast called Pod News. Thank you very much. So I was filling in that kind of information, and that's typically the way, but you obviously need a registered trademark first. Point out that this is not fill in the blanks, the podcast from Dr. Phil McGraw. This is an entirely separate podcast that Dave is talking about. If you want to protect your stuff, the best way of protecting your stuff is firstly not to call it something generic like Let's Talk, because there are over 1,000 shows called Let's Talk already. But secondly, to if you can, to register that name of your podcast as a trademark, because that then means that there is law on your side where you can talk to whoever it might be and say, no, it's a registered trademark. Here is my number. And you need to take this down, otherwise you will lose in court.
Yeah, exactly, exactly.
You know, so that's basically the way. And unfortunately, you know, you do end up seeing people. I mean, any search for, you know, whether it's Serial or This American Life, you'll see a bunch of people who have basically copied that podcast and put it into their own Anchor account so that they can somehow earn some money out of it. I don't fully understand how that bit works.
Now, just to be clear here, this is the actual podcast of the, like, this is the real feed. This is not a clone feed.
It is.
This is the actual
feed. It's the actual feed.
Oh, really?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
This is the real feed that they're wanting taken down.
Because I got a lawyer contact me about 6 months or so ago. So Pod News itself has a podcast directory in there, which is powered by both Apple and the Podcast Index. And I had someone contact me about 6 months ago saying the only people who are allowed to have my client's podcast are Apple Podcasts. You must not be linking to the podcast in any way, shape, or form, because it's exclusive to Apple Podcasts. They were hosted on Libsyn for a start. So already there's clearly a problem here, because no, it's not actually on Apple Podcasts anyway. Also, secondly, I was linking to it. I was linking to the podcast, to the podcast's audio in exactly the same way as any other podcast app does. But the lawyer was deeply upset. And so if you search for this particular podcast now on the Pod News website, I won't tell you the name of the podcast, then instead of getting the podcast information, you get an article about what the lawyer asked for, and an embed of the Apple Podcasts player. so that it's directly linking to Apple Podcasts. You can still listen to it on my website. It's just an embed, but you know, that's what they wanted. So hopefully that's okay then. There are a lot of lawyers just simply don't understand the podcast space and don't understand. I mean, and Adam, you must have had this for years and years and years of dumb lawyers not fully understanding what a link is and what, you know, copying content is.
Yes, and I've had many. I've actually been taken to court over the Lanham Act. I have taken publications and won using Creative Commons copyright. In fact, I was the first one to prove it in court. In this case, I think we just need to note that this guy actually represents this particular client. And if they want that gone, fuck him down. And you know what? I like James's idea. Put a copy of their takedown request as the search result. Boom. There you go.
HTML.
Yeah, there you go. Enjoy that. Because it's a mainstream show. You know, it's a big mainstream show and they've got morons working. So if he can prove that he is truly a representative, because this is no proof, then we'll be happy to take that out. And by the way, we're never going to let you back in.
Yeah, once it's out, it's out. Yeah, that's not. Yeah, there's no second chances here. Yeah, I mean, just looking at this show, it is from a mainstream outfit. But just looking at the show, I can't imagine more than five people listen to this thing anyway. So surely it's not that big of a loss.
Gentlemen, we are at 2 hours and 9 minutes.
Ooh.
I think we should wind it down.
Well, it's been a great pleasure. Thank you so much.
I mean, don't want to be the party pooper here, but I'm just saying.
There you go.
Well, I got to eat some supper, and James got to eat brunch. He's got Eggs Adam Benedict
been,
in the
Adam
oven.
Adam has been
ready.
Podcasting nonstop for the last 5 hours.
Yeah. So. Oh, yeah. And I love it. I can't get enough of it. I love podcasting. It's a lot of fun.
Well, thank you both for everything that you do. The world is changing, I think, away from a proprietary system into openness again. And I think podcasting 2.0 is a big, big part of that. So thank you so much for doing that, and great success next year.
Yeah, you too, James. I appreciate it, and I hope y'all don't change the just one name change, right? No more name changes. You're good. You're sticking with Pod News Weekly for a while.
No more name changes. It's there until until something bad happens. Yes, but I'm sure that won't happen.
And thank you, James, for all the reporting you do. One of the few who will constantly report on what is happening at Podcasting 2.0. It's highly appreciated. I show that appreciation. Look at how many satoshis I'm sending you.
I know exactly. That's my retirement fund.
It's yeah, exactly. And thank everybody else, all of the board members who participate, of course, all the developers, everybody who is participating, and that is from people just listening, hanging out at podcastindex.social, developers, podcasters, y'all know who you are, and of course people who are supporting the project. We really, really appreciate it. And Dave, thank you, my brother. Thank you for yet another year of lots of fun and poverty. We love it.
Yes, fun and poverty. Happy New Year.
All right, everybody. We will see you next year. That's right. Which means 1 week from now, we'll be back with another board meeting for Podcasting 2.0. Have a happy New Year. Be safe, everybody. Bye-bye.
Podcasts are cool.
Go podcasting!
You have been listening to Podcasting 2.0. Visit podcastindex.org for more information.
Boost.